Blog Talk Radio.
And you have stumbled across The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives you a full balance of sports, that balance that you look for every day. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they break down all the sports for you and promise not to leave you hungry. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
All right, boys and girls, it's Saturday. You know what that means. It's The Balance. My name's Tom. Right alongside me, as usual, is my partner in crime and Mr. $2 Bill Josh, and our newest addition to the team, Mr. R.J. Cunningham from Trackside Review, the magazine. Is everybody on board with me today?
I'm here.
All right, we're here. We're ready to rock and roll. The beauty of Skype, sometimes things just don't always click in at exactly the same time that it's supposed to be. So glad that everybody could join us today, 6 o'clock, Saturday evening. That's right, guys. We had to move it back just a little bit. Had some other things going on. Now, starting next week, going from noon until 1 o'clock on XRB Radio, and AM 1610 WXRB in Brownsburg, and just the beginning of many of our radio stations to be added to the Balance program. We'll be running a tape program running from noon and until 1 o'clock, and at some point we hope to get to a point where we can do it live and take your live call-ins. But we can take live call-ins, and we got a lot going on, and we got about 30 minutes to get it all in. One of the biggest things that's happening right now, guys, is it's official. The NFL has said, that's it, we are done, game's over, take us to court, we'll see you in court. The NFL does its lockout, and it's all in the hands of the courts. Now, Josh, I know you've been following this story pretty well, and feel free to chime in anytime you want there, RJ. And then, you know, we also want to talk a little bit about the Big Ten tournament that's going on, and, of course, the NCAA March Madness. Then we're going to get right into it. The Trackside Review radio style right here on The Balance. So, Josh, go ahead, break down the NFL lockout for us, and feel free to chime in there on anything that you want, RJ.
About the NFL lockout, I don't really see how the owners can lock the players out. The players are decertified since they're no longer a unit. Therefore, if you go by the legal definition, the owners cannot, in fact, lock out the players. I don't really see football being played anytime until middle of October, because as of right now, there's no pressure on the players or the owners to do anything before the middle of August. They're going to go ahead and have the draft. The rookies can't sign. They're not going to miss any football games until August. So really, there's no need. The players can go on vacation. The owners are going to go ahead and spend I guess if you listen to the owners, they don't have any money to spend. But There's no pressure to do anything about the CBA.
Hey, Josh, just out of curiosity, I was under the understanding they were trying to lower the salaries of all the players for the games, but they were going to pay them the exact amount of money, but they were going to lower the amount of money they got paid per game, which would end up totaling the same dollar figure. Is that correct, or am I mistaken in hearing that?
No, that's what they're trying to do, although if you think about that statement, I don't really understand. They're going to try to pay them less per game, but paying the same amount. So either they're planning on adding extra games or the owners can't add very well.
Well, it seems to me that as a player, it would be common sense to go on strike because, or whatever they want to call it, sue them, because they're getting paid less money and putting themselves in even more danger. As a preseason game, they obviously get a sit and let the rookies see whether or not they can make the NFL. You know, I see the owners definitely in the wrong. What I thought was so funny was to see that they asked for 10 years of audited money statements. And, you know, Tom, I know from you being a tax accountant, I'm sure that the owners don't want that to happen. So, anyway.
Well, really, and I think there's a lot of legal issues that are going on right now. But I think one of the biggest thing is really the failure to disclose on the owner's part how much money they really do make. I think that they had a gap there on how much that they feel like the owner should disclose how much money that they're making off of them. And really, I kind of take the side of the owner's stage on this because it's a first of all, they get paid a sick amount of money anyway. Everybody there is getting paid. I think everybody that listens to the show knows that nobody's hurting for any money. Nobody is at the soup kitchen on Friday night trying to provide for the family. So really what it amounts to, and one of the key things, is the players want to know how much money the owners are making. Now, here's the thing. In the private industry, if you work for a company, unless you're a shareholder, which players are not shareholders, they are contracted employees of the NFL, and so the owners are a company called the National Football League, and the owners make certain amount of money. They do disclose a certain amount of money, but at same parts of that, they don't have to disclose all of their private affairs and money that they make. The reason why they want to do that is because players want to be able to get more piece of the pie. Obviously, we know that if you've got a 20-piece bucket of chicken and you've got three people, you know, you got a lot more chicken to eat. But if you tell everybody you have a 5-piece chicken dinner and you got three people that need chicken, then they know that. So basically what it amounts to is they know there's more chicken in the bucket. I guess that's what it amounts to. And so the players want to disclose that, and the owners don't want to disclose that. So hopefully they can get everything worked out. I know we've got the Super Bowl planned right here in Indianapolis, and the last I've heard, they're certainly moving full steam ahead on that. And one of the things that are moving full steam ahead right here in Indianapolis without a hitch is the NCAA Big Ten tournament. Josh, tell us what's going on down there. And we get closer and closer to Selection Sunday, boys and girls. Where are we going to be at on that? Obviously, we know IU is going to be struggling. Coach Crean's going to be there for another year, like it or not. And we'll see what happens next year with that. But, Josh, what's going on with the Big Ten there, buddy?
I'm certainly going to break that down. But going back to the NFL real quick, I'm going to have to disagree with you, Tom. Basically, what it comes down to, the owners are too stupid to stop spending their own money. So they want a judge to tell the owners to stop spending their own money. But about the Big Ten tournament, Michigan State lost today. So like I said in my blog, Michigan State will not be going to the Big Dance. IU will not be going to the Big Dance. Baylor will not be going to the Big Dance. I know Tom is very sold on Baylor, but they collapsed the last month and a half of the season.
Yep, they did.
So tomorrow we're going to have Ohio State playing Penn State for the automatic berth in the NCAA tournament. Also, we have Florida playing Kentucky tomorrow. Duke's going to play North Carolina. So you have several good games tomorrow as we set the field for Selection Sunday, which is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on CBS.
Okay. Any thoughts on that real quick, RJ? On the Big Dance, the NCAA Big Dance?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not following it as much as I could because I'm trying to get the racing gig going as much as possible. But
right.
I personally, I was ready to one green out. That's about it. That's I'm an IU and Indiana fan first and foremost. All the other teams, you know, if Notre Dame, IU, Purdue, Ball State, Butler, Indiana State, which, by the way, was my alma mater. Once they're out of the picture, I'm done with the NCAA. So as it stands right now, all I'm really concerned about is the Indiana schools. Now, I realize we have a global listening audience, but that's my stance. So So
if I could interrupt real quick, Indiana State's actually going to the Big Dance. They won the Missouri Valley Conference. I didn't know if you were aware of that or not, RJ, but
I watched part of that game, and I attended pretty much every game that ISU played while Bird was there. So, you know, I got to play a pickup game with him, so I obviously been a bit disappointed in Indiana State for a number of years. It was nice to see him go back. So, and, you know, my son's a Butler grad, so obviously I've got to stick with Butler, too. So, anyway, it was nice.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'm looking forward to IU having a good year next year. I wish we had more time to break down the NCAA today. We've got to try to cram everything into 30 minutes, so we got to get into track side review. And I know that we've got a lot talking about. You were out at Fast Times today, RJ. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the racing world. Obviously, I don't think we have a nationwide race today and a NASCAR race tomorrow because Bristol's next week. Am I correct on that?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
You know, pretty
so
much.
We don't,
go ahead.
So there's no picks today, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still up. I consider myself still up, just so you guys know.
you know, you,
I'm
it the, doesn't matter if you I'm pick the, Tony the, Stewart and Tony Stewart comes lose. In second. You've got to pick the winner.
I knew you guys would. I've saved my $2 bill in the drawer here, though. But I did go to Fast Times Karting today, and I took some shots. Let's see, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 14 or 15 to go on the web. But I took our grandson with me today, and it was like, you know, I got to see Johnny Parsons and Dave Darlin and quite a few other drivers, and talked to Bill Marvel, who's the organizer of the event, along with USAC. So it's a benevolent fund event for drivers that are injured. And I made a donation with Trackside Review, which is about 10% of what I would have really liked to donate to that cause. You know, there's many racers that are injured during the course of a year. Talking to Dave Darlin, you know, I've seen him multiple times. I don't know how many lives he's got, but you know, he's one man that's lived racing a lot, and he's been hurt before, so I'm sure he's benefited from this fund. This is a 14-year run event, and I would have liked to race in it, but financial concerns and then not having my full team there, you know, would keep me from doing it. Although we would have been stomped by the racers, but I would have found us a couple ringers there, Tom. But, you know, that's okay. We'll do that next year. It's something we can budget for. But it was nice to give the $50 donation to that cause.
Sure.
You know, everybody will see the pictures from that event on the website.
We'll try to get those up tonight.
We'll try
to get the pictures up tonight from Trackside.
Yeah,
and we'll also
so,
get those posted on the Balance website as well, www.thebalanceonline.com. And if you guys haven't had a chance to check out the new and improved Trackside Review, the magazine online, check it out, www.tracksidereview.com. Also, if you're interested in being a sponsor, give Marquee Solutions a call, 317-903-8063. So we don't have a lot of we don't have any races to pick this weekend, which is good because we got such a late start today. We wouldn't have been able to pick the nationwide thing. But go ahead, Josh.
There actually is a truck race going on right now. I'm not aware if RJ is watching it at the moment or not. But
yeah, it's out in Darlington.
Yeah, I'm not watching it. I'm taping it, DVRing it to be exact. You're not to tell me what's going on. I realize we're on a show and we should be talking about that, but I don't enjoy it if I'm watching it, parts of it. And so just so race fans know, now, there's another thing, too. This is why I think automotive sponsorships are nice. By using the DVR, I personally do not watch the commercials. Therefore, I watch the race cars and the race trucks, which means that I see the sponsors on the vehicles, not on commercials. I hear them on radio, and I, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm just saying, just for future reference, I'm just trying to plug the show here, guys. Sorry. Also trying to email somebody. So, anyway, go ahead, Josh. You can say who's leading. I'll give you that.
Casey Kane is leading. That's all I'm going to say. It's been an exciting day, but I'm not sure why NASCAR is taking a break only 3 weeks into the season, unless it's kind of like a reset and see where we're at after three events type of deal.
Well,
do you want to take that one there,
RJ?
Go ahead.
In the season, but you know, still you can pretty much already write off two or three teams, in my opinion. If you have DNS this early in the season and you've had a couple of them in a row, you're in trouble already. You know, so all you got to do is look back, and you know, I personally could write off a couple teams right now, which I'm not going to because I may want to pick them later in an event.
Okay.
Next.
Well, guys, like we said, we don't have any drivers to pick for this week. RJ, real quickly, and give us an honest assessment. Where are we at? What's the score here on our picks?
Well, I'm kicking your butt, but none of us have won anything yet. Okay. I feel like I'm ahead only because I picked the. I picked Danica Patrick last week. Truthfully, I didn't pick her, but for one reason, and that's because she got some outside help. You know, there was somebody on Facebook slamming her the other day because she doesn't work on the race cars, and she's not of this, and she's not of that. Bottom line is, she knows how to use her head on the racetrack, and if somebody sets up the car for her and spots for her, no matter what event she's in, she does know how to use that gas pedal. And so, you know, I did expect her to do a top 10. And, you know, I was impressed with her deal. But, yeah, I do think I'm slightly ahead, but technically I'm not ahead at all because it's winners only. But, Tom, you set up the rules, so, you know, we could go all season long and I may never get my Christmas club. Josh may end up with it after all.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If you win, you get $2. If you lose, you lose $2. So, but you got to pick the winners. You can't pick someone who's going to run well. That only seems fair to me, right? Well, let's talk a little bit about the – go ahead, Josh.
No, I'm just sitting here listening to you two. I don't know if you're going to say, let's go ahead and talk about the Vegas race or –
Now, we can go ahead and talk about the Vegas race. I was going to actually say let's go ahead and talk about a little bit about the 2011 Short Track Auto Racing Series schedule. I know that's coming up here soon in April or May, I believe. RJ, you can talk to me a little bit about that. I know that it runs throughout the month of September. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the
ASCS
Sprint.
Tom, every track is starting to test and tune sessions right now. All the dirt tracks around the Midwest, all the pavement tracks, they have open testing right now. What they do is they allow the teams to come in and test, and they collect pit pass money, and that gives them a little bit of money to save for the purses and also pay for the personnel to run the racetracks when the season does start. You on the website, you will start seeing information from Eldora, the Indianapolis Speedrome, Lawrenceburg Speedway, and more and more and more tracks as we progress, especially now that we've got such a top dog site. And any race fan is going to be able to look at that, and they're going to be able to click on each one of those tracks and decide where they want to go that weekend. I suggest, as always, you set the DVR, go to the races live, and then come back and watch the race that was on TV, but enjoy a great evening or day race out there. It doesn't matter to me where you go, but I will say this. You're going to see me at Lawrenceburg, Eldora, the Indianapolis Speedrome, and tracks that have sent the information to the website. Because you know as well as I do, Tom, since you've already chewed me out a couple times, I'm a forgetful person. And the website is a way to remind the race fans of what races are actually going on. Some racetracks have special events, like the Anderson's Little 500. And you'll forget. I don't care who you are or how many years you've gone, unless you are a single one-sided fan where you just follow USAC or you just follow NASCAR or you just follow ARCA, for example, you're going to forget some of the events you like to go to, and I like to go to many, many, many different events. And I hope that Josh and yourself and myself, we can all attend different events that might be going on the same weekend and give our own take and splash on racing around the Midwest. So go ahead.
Yeah, that would be great. Absolutely, and I would definitely enjoy that. So, Josh, did you have some thoughts on the Vegas race? We got about 5 minutes left, so go right ahead, Josh. We can break down the Vegas race and your thoughts on there real quickly here for a couple minutes. We got about 2 minutes.
I thought it was nice to see Carl Edwards back in victory lane, and Rick Hendrick has signed a new developmental driver. I believe he's going to be in Busch Series. I guess it's Nationwide Series. A little bit later on this season, I can't quite remember his name. I heard it earlier this week, but Rick Hendrick has signed Bill Elliott's son to a developmental deal. From what I hear, it's to put pressure on Dale Earnhardt Jr. to get it turned on. I believe Jr. only has a year or two left on his contract, and then my source has told me that at that time, Elliott's son, who hopefully RJ will know his name, will take over the car that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is currently in.
It's my opinion.
Go ahead, RJ.
That it doesn't matter what Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s contract reads. He's going to be teaming with Tony Stewart when his contract's up in the first place. That's my opinion there. And Elliott's son, I saw him race ARCA. And for the life of me, I can't remember it either. I was going to get on the ARCA website, but you guys are too fast for me. If you go to ARCA, you'll be able to see his stats, and he ran very, very well with ARCA. I saw him run and win both at Salem and at Winchester, I believe. So, I mean, that was a definite, you knew that was going to happen very quickly. And there again, that's one thing I like about what I try to do with race fans. You can't watch a Tony Stewart or a Jeff Gordon when they get to NASCAR. You've got to watch them before they get there. You'll be able to tell whether or not they're going to be a winner before they get there. And I'm not going to mention any names, but there is a person that's contracts up in a year or year and a half or whatever. And that particular person, I watched him race short track racing too. And I could tell right off the get-go that attitude was not right to make him a winner in NASCAR. So I believe teaming up with Tony Stewart will be a big benefit to him in the future. Oops. Never mind.
Okay. Well, guys, that takes us to the two-minute warning. We have 2 minutes left. Now, keep in mind what we're going to be doing starting next week, Saturday. We're going to be going our show taped, pre-recorded show running 1 hour on XRB Radio, www.xrbradio.com and AM 1610 XRB. And, of course, we'll still have our show right here on Saturday on Blog Talk Radio. And probably what's going to happen here in the near future, we're probably going to be doing 30-minute blurbs here on Blog Talk Radio as we move into regular radio waves, as it's more time-consuming to do that. So, Josh, real quick, going to give you the last word. Take us out. We've got exactly 35 seconds.
I'm looking forward to seeing Louisville knock off UConn tonight. I'm also looking forward to seeing Jimmy Johnson get back in victory lane next week at Bristol Motor Speedway, and hopefully Danica Patrick's found a mat so she can make it.
Well, we're definitely going to be ready to break down the races out there in Bristol next week. That's certainly one of the things we're going to be talking on the show, the balance on Saturday on XRB Radio. RJ, real quickly, you got any final thoughts?
The one thing I do want to mention is I thank you for putting the picture of the tsunami on the website.
Yes.
Mass destruction. That racing is fun, basketball is fun, all the sports are fun, but there are realities, and that's something we need to keep in mind too.
Absolutely, and I do apologize. I had that here in my notes to go first. When things get thrown off kilter, as I had a conference to go to this weekend, it just kind of threw everything off kilter, and and it didn't get it mentioned, but our thoughts and prayers do go out to all the family members and so forth in the Japan earthquake and the tsunami that followed after that. Well, my name's Tom. Right alongside me, as usual, is $2 Bill Josh, and the Trackside Review Radio Style with us is Mr. R.J. Cunningham. For Saturday, March the 12th, you have been wrapped up.